Alright, Harry.
Listen, Harry, we'll take a wee song break at the minute.
Sure.
And then when we come back, we'll possibly even be graced with Mr. T. But you'll need to maybe act.
He's beside me here as we speak.
You'll need to act as translator, maybe, I think.
Yeah, sure.
And just ask him to go gentle on me, will you? Just tell him to be gentle.
Okay, hey Tom, you got a request here to go gentle.
Be
go gentle.
Be gentle with me.
In fact, the song called like Gentle on My Mind.
Yeah, okay.
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 We'd all talk slower.
Okay.
And you're live with TNSradio.com. Guys and ladies, we are joined on air, TNSradio.com, by Mr. T. Good evening, Mr. T.
Yes, I'm here.
It's a pleasure to have you on TNSradio.com, especially on the Monday night. Could you tell us a wee bit about, you know, we were talking about due process there and jurisdiction?
Yeah, it is mainly about subject matter jurisdiction. You have your table sitting there with four legs on it, and you have a defendant, you have a plaintiff, you have a witness, and you have the subject matter. And if you don't have the four legs, the table falls over, right?
Yep.
And if you're sovereign, then you will make sure that there's four legs on that table when you walk in or deal with any of these governmental officials, especially when you walk into a court.
Sure.
Or you think it's not your court, it's not their court, it's not, the court doesn't begin until you walk in, and then they say, oh, the court is here, don't they?
Uh-huh.
Now, is that familiar to you all?
Well,
and then they'll ask you what your name is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And then you're going to have to possibly respond, if you respond, you know, to tell them why that's part of the subject matter. If they have a, if I would say if you could ask them if they have anything on the record that confirms, and if they can raise their hand and as a witness to swear that they went down and say got your birth certificate and swore that that was your, that's you, that's your name, and it has to be affidavit. Right, and now you can say that's evidence of the court record, but that's way, when they know who you are.
Uh-huh.
And if they don't do that, why, you can just say, who do you say that I am? Or you can say, I can't make a legal determination about that. And when they ask you your name, you can just say, is it civil or criminal? That is the judge. Now, you only address the judge when you go in there. All that other ceremonial jargon. It may be this man, that man, it may be some man of the Bible, it may be a guard or a policeman or a cop, whatever you want to call them. And they're going to have a ceremonial in there. You stand there and wait for the judge to ask you a question. That's the only person you address, and I recommend that highly. And then when he asks you what your name is, you ask him, is it civil or criminal? Wait for an answer. Don't interrupt. Because that's part of the four legs on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And if he says, or she says, civil, then you respond by where is the contract or the agreement. And if he or she says that it's criminal, ask him where the complaint is.
Mm-hmm.
Because under complaint, they have to bring an injured party forth. And that would probably get you out of there.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why people want to discuss or dialogue anything with them anyway. Because you're in civil jurisdiction. What they're trying to do is the conversion of criminal, and they're getting you to volunteer for it. And that's just, you know, the same leg on the table. All they're trying to do is get that other leg in place so the table doesn't fall over. And they haven't even brought a witness in there yet. You can ask the if there's a prosecuting attorney in there, or even the judge, asks him where the oath of office is. And if he doesn't have one, I give him one. Under God, so help me God. Now we have a binding contract. Now these are just things that, these aren't, you know, 1, 2, 3 down the line, or A, B, C. But these are some of the things that you run into when you go in there. And if you put them in perspective, you can be out of there in a jiffy, in just a few moments. But you got to have a witness, competent witness, competent. Not, they'll tell you you'd probably be compelled. Well, if you're compellable, how can you be compellable if you aren't competent? See, we want to be competent. We can't be compellable if we're not competent. So you go in there as not competent because that's not your, that's a criminal jurisdiction, okay?
Yeah.
We want to stay in the civil, so that's why you can ask them all the questions if you desire to get in dialogue or if you know what you're doing. But to go in there with your, that jurisdictional issue again. And you got the four legs on the table. Actually, there's no dispute, actually, until you give them all the answers, which you tell them your name. They got to verify and swear on oath and put it as evidence into the record. That's why they ask you your name. That's the first thing they ask you. Even on a road stop, where's your driver's license? What's your name? Right?
Uh-huh.
And besides, when they give you that citation or ticket out there on the highway or road, freeway, whatever you want to call it, that is a summary judgment. That's the default. When you win the court, that date they put on it, then that is when they determine the fine or the penalty. And if you consent to it, then that's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to pay or go to jail. You know, penalty or fine, I said. You know, I get that. Two words, penalty or fine. Okay? Penalty and fine is, apparently you can figure it out for yourself. Money. They use that word money a lot. Or
yes.
Cash. And the penalty will be either jail or pay the money. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
So either or. Take your choice. If you consent or volunteer for, you know, their activity. And then what actually is like a bridge. All, you know, when the weight of the truck or the lorry goes over, you know, if you have a 10-ton lorry and it's only a 5-ton bridge, apparently it's going to break down, right?
Yeah.
They call it capacity. So, you know, there's just a lot of aspects of jurisdiction. But the best thing to do is when you walk into that court or that meeting, actually it's not a court, because it's only a pre-trial. When you walk in there, when they ask you a question, just say, is it civil or criminal? That's the best way to go. And then wait for an answer, because they usually, I'd say 85% of the time, get people on contempt because you interrupt the judge when, you know, they should be answering the question when you ask them, is it civil or criminal? And those other guys having their ceremonies and playing their music and then saying things and interrupting things. Get us emotional and upset or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, we're uncomfortable when we go in there. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So the best thing to do is to ask them if it's civil or criminal and then wait for an answer. And if it's civil, where's the contract or the agreement? If it's criminal, where's the complaint? The reason you say complaint is because they haven't raised their hand on the, you know, sworn affidavit and said that you injured them. I'm there willing to pay restitution if I've injured somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're standing there, you want to make restitution, right? But they haven't stated a claim, a complaint, right? Well, then why would you wait until they, you know, answer your question? Where's the complaint? You're standing there ready to make restitution, make amends to the, you know, damage that you've done them. And they can't state it, so why you make your exit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You suppose anybody will understand this?
I would hope so.
Huh?
I would hope so, sir. Yeah, definitely. I would hope so.
I don't know how clear I can be.
I know.
Huh?
Could you tell us a little bit about subject matter, okay. Master T?
Well, subject matter is like, that's part of it, actually, your name. It's like if you go to a doctor, a GP, what did you call them? MD, doctors of medicine. You have a tumor. And if they don't do a fact find, why, they're going to be in big trouble, aren't they? And that's what subject matter jurisdiction is all about, is the fact find. First of all, you have to do a fact find before you do the operation, right? If he does the operation before he does the fact find, if there's no tumor there and operates, he's going to be in big trouble, isn't he?
Yes, aye.
So it's really not too difficult, really. We got what you really the power of it is in asking them for their oath of office. It's you can go in there, and this is usually not in pre-trial so much, somewhat, because there's a prosecutor standing up there trying to get you to reading off the charges, usually. And a lot of times, if you just say, "Well, I object," and they'll say, "What are you objecting about?" Well, he came in here without subject matter jurisdiction. He came in there without a witness. That's what a competent witness is all about, subject matter.
Yes.
Is that, or do you want some more directions on that? It might sound overly, simplification, from the way I'm stating it. So sometimes you have to feel free to correspond and to talk about this and rehearse it. Mm-hmm. And rehearse it, go over and take different aspects and angles of it, like the question you ask about subject matter. The key to it is being competent. Well, you gotta figure that I'm not competent. You actually go in there and you have we do it deliberately. It's sort of like a deliberate thing, and they know it when we come in, and we're very confident. That's all deliberate means, and they know it. See, those prosecutors and judges in their statements of counsel and briefs or in arguments are not sufficient for purposes of granting these motions. And to dismiss on these summary judgment. So it tells you right there that they don't have any authority until you give it to them. There's 50 million cases like that.
Yes, yes.
It may not sound, it isn't really that complicated. But if you just have to start out beginning like I did. It's just getting used to going in there, really. A lot, man. Most people don't go in more than two or three times a year, so they don't really, they don't know what to do, and they feel apprehension, and it's sort of an emotional thing.
Yes, right. Now, in terms of
I stay out of there myself.
Well, I think that's the best way to do it, is it not?
The best thing to do is over there. You got interpleaders in your county. That's where all your government is at, in the county. Are they magistrates you go before? Are they police commissioners police, what do they call them? Police, magistrate, not magistrate, but just police representatives, holding a hearing or a meeting to get your fine. Yeah, that's all they're doing, just collecting mainly motor vehicle stuff. And then if you don't buy a tele license, have you got the tele license there?
Well, some people do.
Yeah.
I don't.
So it just varies with all these municipal codes. They got a dog license and all these different things.
Well, we're supposed to have one. I'm supposed to have one, Mr. T. But no, I don't have one. It's a personal.
You got meter maids, and you got people that, you park along the street and you're supposed to put money in the meter, or they put a clamp on your wheels or whatever system they got set up, for motor vehicles. The one thing about driving, they'll say, "Let's see your driver's license." And you say, "Well, I don't have one." Well, if you say that, you might, you don't address it that way. You just say, "Well, I don't need a driver's license. I'm traveling." so when you travel, you don't need a driver's license. That's the reason it's named driver's license. I don't know if you ever heard that before or not.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, I've heard that, yeah.
I'm sure you have. All these things I've been saying, you probably heard of.
Now, in terms of operation of law, Mr. T, can you explain a wee bit about that to us?
Yeah, but the one thing about it is this competent and incompetent. And they'll say, well, you're competent. See, we go in there and make all these, we raise our hand and take an oath, or we witness, or we have testimony. Well, we really shouldn't do that until we get into a trial, or even then. Usually they come after us, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Well, I know this one, a solicitor, barrister, you call them attorneys, there's different lawyers. This one that was in the business for nearly 30 years, and he said he hadn't won a case. But they make their money off of representing people, supposedly. You know, that's one word they use. Are their clients. So it's just sort of a scam, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's other words for it. It's kind of a wordy game. In other words, if you go in there and get a penalty or fine on you, let's put it this way. And if you get, volunteer for it or consent or assent to it, volunteer. If you get a fine or penalty put on you, you'll know right away. If you just really stop and deeply think about it, you're lying, right? You've heard of lying.
Yeah.
And if you stop and think about it, if you go in there and tell them the truth, then you'll probably walk out of there without a penalty and fine. True?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that? It's a rather interesting comment, but you want to know about truth and lying, and they use that a lot, especially the truth. But the lion is, a little bit more reserved, isn't it? But they won't tell you when you're lying. If I'm trying to get something out of somebody, I'm not going to, if I get something out of them, I'm not going to tell them they're lying, right?
Yes.
I'm going to take whatever I'm getting out of them. But when they really squirm and turn, it's when you go in there and tell them the truth. They don't want to hear that. But when you firmly tell them that, about the jurisdiction, you don't have to tell them that you're sovereign. You don't have to tell them. All you have to do is it civil or criminal? So see, one thing about civil and criminal is what they do is the conversion over into the criminal, and that's when they put penalties and fines on you. So why would we want to do that? Why don't we stay in the civil? Because that's where the law, our law is at, common law is civil. And they, it's not a capital crime that really very many people, violate. And that's what criminal is a capital crime, like murder, treason, and fraud.
Yes.
And if we let them convert, and we do it, all they do is ask us questions. Or we put our paperwork in there and swear and make, affidavits or whatever before the thing has even started. It's only an allegation when you walk in there. And as soon as you open your mouth and tell them your name, usually, is you just made yourself redundant because you gave them something over and above what they asked for. Right?
Yes.
Why would you say on that? Because they have not got any sworn affidavits and raised their hand to a oath. Okay? How the hell do they know? If they knew who you were when you went in there, you could question them and you could cross-examine them if they got a sworn affidavit and they raised their hand. And that gives you a right to interview them, cross-examine them. So before it even gets started, you just, say, that's why you say, who wants to know my name? The judge will probably say, well, I do, or the lady, whoever the judge is. Well, is it civil or criminal? Because, see, they usually convict or get people, the penalties and fines out of people by in contempt. And that's easy to get people into, because usually they get us to interrupt them. And when they do that, we don't even know what's happened. They might just whisper the word contempt. And sometimes it's just a gesture, and then they'll say, take him or take her into custody. And then there's three steps to contempt. Do you know that?
I'm finding out quickly.
You what?
I'm finding out quickly.
What's quickly mean? I mean, I didn't follow what your comment was.
I'm learning from you, sir.
You what?
I'm learning from you.
I lost you now. I lost him. I mean, no, he's still on, but I don't understand what he's saying.
I'm just saying, Harry, that I'm learning from him. I'm listening intently.
You want to hear about contempt?
Yeah, on you go, yeah.
The second one is when they, well, what gets you out of the first step is just asking about the civil and criminal again. And wait for an answer. Because usually that's what gets you into that contempt phase or process. And then if they do take you to jail, why don't book in? Okay?
Yes.
And then you have to go to another hearing before the day is over. And then you go through the same scenario again, regardless of what. The other day we had somebody say that when they ask him if a civil or criminal, they ask him if the judge says it's a rule. Well, how would you respond to that? Well, you just say it's a civil or criminal. You want to stick to those words and wait for an answer. And then when they respond by civil, is an agreement or contract, or on the other one, the criminal is where is a complaint. Do you know what complaint is? Like I said, it is a, you're there to make restitution if they have a complaint. Chances are the reason they say they don't have one is because they don't want to commit perjury. You ever hear that word?
Yes.
Okay, that's the reason. You put them under oath, ask them for their oath of office, and swear them in. Usually some of them will get up and leave the bench, some judges, some prosecutors. So prosecutors will go sit down and keep their mouth shut, give them an oath. And it's just real simple. Ask them if they have the oath of office, and in the same breath or sentence, just say, well, under God, so help me God. Now we have a binding contract, and usually they'll go sit down, and you won't hear any more out of them. Okay?
Yes.
Now that's part we're talking about. The whole scenario here is jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction, okay? And it deals with, you can say, competent, or if you're not competent, how could you be compellable to be, anything other than alleged in there? Because if you make yourself redundant, then they're going to take you back to another setting or hearing or meeting. They usually don't call it court when you get that letter. They don't even call it a court. The court is not there until you walk in the door. Then that's when they say, oh, the court is here. Usually it's just a hearing or a meeting, most of these, letters or invitations. Let's call it invitations, yeah. You ever heard of that word, invitation?
Yep, a few times.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's just real cool. I guess I'm kind of used to it. I don't know, where are you at with all this?
Well, basically, Mr. T, I keep myself from going to court. I don't go to court, If the postman comes along and chaps the door and asks me, would I like to sign for the summons, which is just basically the invitation, then I would say to the postman, if I sign for that, will the information that it contains harm me? And he's not going to know that. So,
and what do you ask the postman?
I just ask the postman, if I sign the summons, will the information that it contains, will it harm me?
He doesn't know, does he?
No, he doesn't know, no.
Well, then why would you ask him?
Because I'm not going to refuse to sign it.
So just take the envelope and send it back.
Yes.
It's a contract, it's an offer, and once you receive it, from the postman, right? You can do anything you want to with it. If you, don't desire it, you don't have to tell him anything. He's not there to question you. He's just to drop the letter in the mailbox or in the letterbox, right?
Yes.
He's, his job's over. There shouldn't be any dialogue with him. You could say, hello, it's a nice day or something, and that's it. He doesn't care one way or the other, right? So you can be as friendly as you want to. You don't have to be, if we try to be too nice to him, we're taught to be real nice. Well, that's fine. But that offer is yours, that property, that letter, and you say, well, I don't think I desire this type of envelope. I'm going to send it back. So just put out return to sender.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recognize you. I don't understand your intent. I do not have an international treaty with you. No liability. Oh, no assured value, no liability. Have you heard that one?
Yep, I've heard that, yes.
Huh?
Yes, I've heard that.
Return to sender. Well, now, if you don't do it, it isn't going to be effective, is it?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Do what?
Could you repeat that, what you just said?
You mean return to sender?
No, just what you had said just there.
Well, if you don't do that, then it's your responsibility to go to court or whatever the letter says. You've accepted it. It's a contract accepted.
Uh-huh.
If you keep it in your possession.
See, any time I've had a summons, Mr. T.
What?
On any occasion, if I've received a summons, I would just generally say to the postman, if I sign for that, if I give you my signature, well, the information that the summons contains harm me. And there's no conflict between myself or the postman. I do give him a wee smile and how you doing and stuff.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I basically don't even want to have it. I don't want to have that summons.
We'll just send it back to the guy. Drop it back in your letter, back in your post office, where they mail letters at the GPO or your station or sorting station, and they have a return address on most of that stuff, and they'll just send it back to the sender. There's no problem. And you're telling them that you aren't accepting their offer of contract.
Right.
See, a contract deals with, four or five different things. But that's the first two, offer and accepted the offer, and then you can return the offer. That's no longer your property, because you have a 72-hour civil right to send it back. 72 hours, 3 days. Anything you get in your letterbox, that's international law. Did you know that?
I wasn't aware of that, no.
You what?
I wasn't aware of that.
That's right. You look at the international law. That was put in effect before 1900. That's a treaty. That's under the nations, I think, France, Germany, Switzerland. All your Commonwealth countries put that into effect. Postal Union, they call it, laws. That's why your mail is so good. They're really ideal. They're precise, okay?
Yes.
The governments don't deviate from the mailing. See, you've got two operations down there where your post offices operate. You got post office and you got postal services. One is commercial and one's stamp mail for the sovereigns. They call it post office and postal services. One is commercial metered mail, and one is under, stamps, which is sovereign, which is post office. And I'll tell you that. I'm telling you that. I'm conveying that.
Yes.
You don't have to get in any dialogue with the post office, necessarily. I mean, other than being, if you want to be a nice guy and friendly, hi, goodbye, thank you, whatever.
Yep, yep. What I've done on two or three occasions now, Mr. T, is I actually get the item number from the summons, and then I go into the court. If I want to go, I'll go into the court, and place an email from the Royal Mail Customer Services that tells me I haven't actually received, or the legal entity, the fiction, hasn't received that summons, and place that before the judge. And within 5 minutes, you're out of there.
If you want to deal with email, I don't. I just deal through the postal services. If you want to deal with the emails, send him a letter, send him a fax. I mean, if you want to deal that way with the what do they call it, emails. Is that what they call it?
Yep.
We'll send him a letter if the judge. You know, you say something about a judge. Did I understand you right? You said something about judge sending you a letter?
No, on two occasions now, I have placed... What I did, Mr. T, was I got in touch with Royal Mail Customer Services and I gave them the item number of the summons and asked them to trace the records to see if the summons has actually been signed for. And when the Royal Mail Customer Services came back to me and told me no, it hasn't been signed for, I asked the Royal Mail Customer Services to send me an email to that effect, and then I placed that in front of the judge. I'd like to give this to the judge. And then within 5 minutes I've been out of there, because the judge can only operate on what he sees in front of him.
Yeah, so what transpired?
It was dismissed.
That was dissipated?
Yep, closed, dismissed, cancelled, gone.
That's the way to do it. Any way to get remedy, I'd say.
I think it's about, certainly, a lot of the lads on all the sites, Mr. T, has listened to you speaking about all this stuff. And it's very, very in-depth. And I know that a lot of them have benefited from the wise words that you've had to say, but it's great to have you on live, because you know some of the guys that I speak to, you know, I say to them, listen to Mr. T, listen to what Mr. T has got to say. So a lot of the guys now they're getting to hear you now for the first time.
Yes. Yeah, it takes a little dexterity or discipline. You can't be really a hardliner, I wouldn't use that word, but you have to be, persuasive. Mm-hmm. They're very persuasive. We have to be somewhat persuasive ourselves. And firm. We're just firm. I'm just trying to be firm about it. And there is a certain amount of, civil law that we're doing. It isn't criminal. You know, that's why they're trying to drag us into this criminal. You know, the capital crime thing, the conspiracy, because they fit that in with part of the fraud. There are three elements of that conspiracy, which is aiding and abetting and accomplice, and what's the other one, Harry? Aiding, abetting, accomplice, and accessory. And it's very easy to drag people in there, but they don't understand them. But that's a conspiracy. Those three are the form of conspiracy. And if you go in there and start dialoguing with them, that's a form of one of those three things, right?
Yes.
Conspiracy involves aiding and abetting. Even if they come to your house and ask you some questions about somebody, and if they're on the payroll, I told them one time when they came to my house, I said, well, you pay those guys, don't you? They said, yeah. I said, well, then why don't you go ask them? They aren't going to get me into some kind of a conspiracy. Go, dialoguing on them and giving them information. I said, you put me on the payroll and I might give you some information. Why would I want to get myself drug into aiding and abetting an accessory or accomplice?
Yeah.
That's part of the conspiracy they get us into. Okay?
Uh-huh. Yes. I think it's all
It's all kind of, it's rather interesting, but it's all about really subject matter jurisdiction.
But the whole sovereignty part of it, Mr. T, it's about how you feel inside. It's about you, isn't it?
It's what?
It's about you. It's about the individual.
I mean, we're all sovereign. We don't have to do anything to do it. We're all born sovereign. All you have to do is enter into it. Some people never enter into it because they don't know that they're sovereign. Mm-hmm. Or they don't want, you know. That's what it's all about. You got freedom to do whatever you wish. Privileges, then you're working under their operation. And if you want rights, freedom, liberty, then you're operating under sovereignty. And the judge will tell you, no ignorance of the law, right?
Yeah.
Have you heard that one?
Yeah, yes.
That's rather interesting. That's, you know, no ignorance of the law.
Well, that's what they say, you know. Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Right. And we don't deal in the law anyway, if you stop and think about it. They drag us into it.
Well, that's right.
Pardon?
I'm saying we're not trained in the law.
Yeah, right. There's that line of the law is as straight as a line, right? If you deviate one little bit from it, then you're breaking the law. We don't realize it. They're the ones that are breaking the law. Actually, the law breaks us, doesn't it?
Yes, I.
Nobody breaks the law. The law breaks them or us. And what you have to do is go in there and hold them to it. And when they ask you your name, if there's no evidence on the record that you have a name, it has to be that birth certificate, I'd say, is a good example. If they don't have that sworn and on the record as evidence, well, then what if, you know, it must not be on there. Why would they be asking your name? See, that name is something that you had nothing to do with, okay?
Yeah.
You're their flesh and blood, okay? It says that the power of attorney says me and my name, doesn't it? What do you suppose that then the power of attorney says, why would it say me, M-E, and A-N-D, my name? Why is there the two words with an and between them? You must be flesh and blood then, right?
Yeah.
Well, your name is, so you represent that name, and you got to tell them that. You got to say, well, I'm, you know, that you don't even really have to tell them that when they're asking you your name. Just say, I am me, if you don't like what, say some of those other things that I've been, you know, sharing with you. Just say, I am me. Are you addressing me, flesh and blood? You just say, are you dressing me? That's all you have to say. And then they have to give you an answer, right?
Yes.
That's another aspect of jurisdiction. They wouldn't even ask you your name if they had sworn affidavits in there and raised their hand and swore an oath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, they'd already know. But that just tells you it's only an allegation. And they're wanting you to make yourself redundant so they can get jurisdiction. Because you gave them more and above what they were asking for. That's the key to making yourself redundant. Why would you want to give them more and above what they're asking for? Mm-hmm. So it's just some of the different aspects of what we've been kind of, you know, trying to just discuss here tonight, or this time of what we call time, 24-hour period.
That's
only an occurrence. That's where they kill us a lot of times, on time. Remember, time is only an occurrence of something. We don't know what the hell we're talking about, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, some of these things I've said are probably very interesting and probably, you know, mind-boggling, but it's rather just, that's the way it is. That's the way they operate. They want your money, what they call money. They want your time. If they get you behind bars, then they can sell share markets on the bond market, you know, off your body. Because your body has to go along with that name that you have to protect that name, right?
Sure.
Then you go to the Slammer, or whatever you want to call it, that little funny farm or whatever. You know, they have many different names for it.
Yeah,
but that postal service is, you know, check it out. A lot of that you can read in your, some of your jurisprudence. I don't know if they talk much about that. I know some of your Black's Law dictionaries. Yeah, that's your, you know, you can find it in some, even the Black Snow commentaries, I think, talk a little bit about it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever read the jurisprudence commentary?
I haven't.
How about the Blackstone commentaries?
No, I haven't read that either.
Yeah, so it's just, I haven't done a lot myself, but it's just some of the experiences that I've had. All I could do is just share with you, just kind of, we're ad-libbing tonight, or this time period, and I don't have too much material in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're doing cracking, Mr. T, you're doing brilliant.
You what?
You're doing really well, as always.
Yeah, they've got actual facts and not mere allegations of a complaint or a determining of issue of jurisdiction. So you have to have four legs on that table, which is a competent witness, subject matter, plaintiff, and defendant. Otherwise, your table falls over. Once your table falls over, there's nothing to... Even if, you go through a trial, you can still walk out of there even if they find you guilty. Have you heard that one?
No.
Sentencing? Yes, you ever hear of going to a sentence hearing?
Yeah.
You what?
I'm saying yes, I'm agreeing with you.
Well, if you do the correct thing, because that's not subject to what they call it, Harry. It's mitigation. What do they call that?
Elocution.
It's not subject to cross-examination. Okay.
Yes.
Unsworn statement from the convicted defendant to the sentencing judge on jury, which the defendant can ask for. You can ask for mercy if you want to. Explain his or her conduct, apology for crime, or say anything else in an effort to lessen the impending sentence. So, this statement is not subject to cross-examination. I hope people appreciate that. Okay?
Yep.
I don't know what else I can tell you. And it's an unsworn statement, okay? You don't have to make a sworn statement of the defendant. And the worst thing you can do in any pre-trial, trial, or post-trial is to make a sworn statement. Affidavit, raise your hand. You don't have to do any of that. This says unsworn statement.
Mm-hmm.
And they can even, it says convicted defendant. That's when I said, even if they find you guilty, you can still go for this. And what you tell them is, you recall signing no such contract or agreement, and that you aren't going to take any jail time or penalties or fines, and you make your way exit out of there. And they may have the ceremonial band playing and everything else, but you just keep on rolling. Because if you give them something or take something, then that's a contract for your jail sentencing. Because a lot of times it's operational law, the writ. And if you give them that, and usually that's a lot of times what the whole thing is about, the operational law, the writ of common law. Okay?
Yeah.
And sometimes we'll have to run through some of these things. It's kind of like a rehearsal. Dialogue, speaking about, talking about it. Okay?
Yes.
So don't anybody be discouraged if they're, apprehensive or disgruntled or don't understand it. You have to just keep rehearsing it, talking about it, and eventually, if you're really interested and you have discipline, like we all need, cool it, you know, as I say, cool it, you'll get through it if you want to be sovereign.
Well, I know a lot of the guys that's listening just now, Mr. T, you know, like Vincent and myself and others, Harry, who's sat beside you, we've all been talking some of the lads through these processes.
Is anything coming in and positive or negative, or they're going to kick me in the head or shoot me or what? What's the rumor at? We went to a party over the weekend, and we had, and they were mostly from England.
Y'all went down here, baby.
Somebody wants to knock me up, I have a baby. That'd be really interesting. You know, I'm not a female. I put that on the airwaves. And I'm not going to put myself in that position to get, as everybody probably thinking. In other words, I'm not going to spread my legs. Okay, what do you got to say? I mean, I know I get too hilarious here. You're right.
Well, we've had one result. Using this process.
You are?
We've had one man, who was in court for the CSA, that's the Child Support Agency, and he put the judge on his oath. He gave the judge his oath. You know, under God, so help me God, that is your oath. Now we have a binding contract. And the judge basically dismissed the case.
That's what you want, isn't it?
That's a result as far as I'm concerned, yeah.
Yeah. That sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah. So that's what we're trying to roll across everybody, you know, and get everyone to start thinking the same way.
Right.
There's still a lot of people dealing with letters and stuff.
Right.
You know, conditional acceptances, notices, affidavits, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And personally, Mr. T, I don't do letters. You know, I think the last time I wrote a letter, I was about 18 years of age.
Right.
But just previous to yourself coming on, when Harry was talking about sending off recorded delivery letters to the man with the biggest shoes. That's certainly a letter that I would condone sending off. But as far as I call it, the under God, so help me God route, that's the way forward. And that's what myself and a few others are trying to put across to people.
Right. Well, that's very effective because they take an oath to protect our Bill of Rights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why wouldn't you want your Bill of Rights there? They take that office to protect your Bill of Rights, right?
Yep.
Well, then why would you want to give them any other reason, you know? Why would you want to give them money when they aren't entitled to it? They're supposed to be standing there protecting your rights. But we have to give them the notice because they won't do anything for us until we give them the oath of office. Every individual, every human being has to do that individually. And the best way to do it is through your sheriff. And they won't even haul you in there or give you a ticket. Or they'll just leave you alone. So the best thing you can do, I advise everybody to get their oath of office, demand notice of oath of office into the sheriff in your county. Not city, but county.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
That'll stop everything. CIA, FBI, Interpol, MI5, Scotland Yard, and the whole works. They're all subdivisions. Okay? the Assets Bureau, the tax people, they're all subdivisions because they wear two hats. Mm-hmm. And they have to go through the sheriff's office to get permission to come to your house or send you a summons or do anything, you know. But they have to go through that. And if they see where that you have your oath of office to the sheriff, so the sheriff will tell them. They usually have to notify the sheriff to see if they can come to your house or send you a letter. And they say, the sheriff will say, well, no, he or she's got their oath of office in there. Don't go to that place. Well, then that's, they won't bother you. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. So I'd advise people to get that letter or that demand notice, oath of office, to their local sheriff in the county. Not city, not town or province, but county. I'm sure you have all county commissioners, county council, county, what do they call it? Some kind of a, are they provinces over there or are they counties?
It's not so much counties, it's councils and shires, districts.
No, you don't have anything in county? County commissioners, county board,
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, look in your directory. They got the words on their names, their offices. Mm-hmm. Don't fool with the city or town or Lord Mayor or anything like that. Send it to the province or the county. Huh? No, that's not the sheriff's office. They're part of the county registrar. They call them the registrar over there, the county sheriff, or the interpleader. Look for an interpleader. Here they got them as interpleaders, but when they run for election, they call them sheriff. And the rest of the time, they don't mention their name. Uh-huh. They in the phone in the directory, they got it, their initials, their name and their initials, and then their last name, and then they got sheriff. That's all. The rest of all your law books read interpleaders.
So you would recommend then everyone get these letters sent off?
You know, if they want their sovereign liberties and freedoms, I suggest that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But it has to be individuals to do it, men and women, that want their, not privileges, but they want their liberties and freedom, rights. Uh-huh. Constitution, you know, because we're nations, we're chartered under the nations. Each one of us is a nation. You know, you've heard of the chartered nations.
Yeah.
Well, each one of us is a nation. And the only way they get corporations chartered is through the sovereignty of the, you know, you have to be a sovereign to a charter a corporation. That's how they get chartered. To, you know, we're the creditors and they're the debtors. Mm-hmm. And what they use to end up getting us to volunteer or assent or consent, and they make debtors out of us, and then we give them over our credit, or, you know, give our credit to them. They make, we make them creditors, they make us debtors. They just turn it around anytime we volunteer or consent. And if you don't get your oath, you know, demand notice in there, then they're going to make you, that's why when you walk into court, or, well, you know, they send you a bill or something, you're saying, well, I guess I'm the debtor. You know, we say, okay, you're the creditor. You must be the creditor. That's how all the real estate and banks work. Go in and get a mortgage, they make a debtor out of you. You say, okay, you want to be the creditor, I'll have to pay you then, won't I? Everything's paid for already.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, it's all about usage, right? Where did they get the property? Ask them where they got the property that you're on, living on out there. It's already established. Is it some new thing that came in from the sky or something? This land, this property that you have a right to walk on and live on. Where did they ask them where they got it? Uh-huh. That they can assess you 30 or 40 years of rent or this house payment. So you're volunteering for that debt, that debtor, and then you say, oh, well, you want to be the creditor, and you're already the creditor. Why you swap? That's just, you know, reasoning.
Mm-hmm. So you're essentially...
Let me read to you about the loan. Know what they call a loan, a business transaction between two legal entities, whereby one party, and they call that the lender, agrees to rent funds to the second party, the borrower. The funds may be rented with or without a fee. This fee is called interest or discount. Loans may be demand or time loans, depending on the agreement. As to maturity, loans may also be short-term or long-term. And then they refer you to lend. They're not really loans, they're just lending, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, lend, to give up something of personal value for a definite or indefinite period or time without relinquishing ownership. Now, you people listening to this, if you heard what I said, check it out. And it's all about money, most of this stuff is, okay?
Definitely, Mr. T. If we've no caused loss or harm, then it's definitely about money for them, for theirs, you know, for their system.
Yeah, what you might understand by looking at proceeds is part of that equation to understand that they don't use money, but it's proceeds.
Uh-huh.
The proceeds, get that word, proceeds. And then there's another one that would, you know, help you understand what those land and loans are. It's collateral. And if you'll study and research that, what I've mentioned, you'll understand what is going on. You know, how you should go down there and when you take out these loans.
Mm-hmm. So essentially with the land, we're asking them for the bill of sale. Can you show me the bill? Can you show me the bill of sale?
If you're asking for anything, they're not going to give it to you. So I don't know why you're asking them. You know, we're wasting our time. I did a lot of that.
Uh-huh.
Go down and check the registrar, the land registrar in your county or district. I wouldn't say district, but registrar, county, precinct. Maybe it's under Providence. And see whose name is on it.
Mm-hmm.
And chances are it's not even the person that thinks they own it. It's name not even on it. It might be an abstract or someplace in the title. But chances are the first party that ever had that transaction with that land, their name is still on it. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, the land register, that's something different. The state runs that. That's kind of like federal or state. Or you don't want to get in that scheme. See, that every office has two hats, I call it. That's just like your sheriff or interpleader. You register your summons with the sovereign side of hemp. And you send your oath of office. But the corporations, they get summonses out there too, but they get from the corporate side. So he operates both, doesn't he?
Uh-huh.
Corporations, companies, banks, municipalities, and then sovereigns. If we file our summonses in there, if you have a summons to file against me or somebody, file it with your sheriff. And he'll send me a... You can summons me in the court. How do you suppose we should get our, you know, somebody that we want to take into court? That's where we send our summonses to, if we want to get them in there. send them a summons. How do you suppose they send their summonses? Your house. Scotland Yard or FBI, Interpol, Metropolitan Police. Where do you suppose they get their summonses out of?
The system.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The system.
What?
Just the system, isn't it?
I didn't hear you.
Well, their summons is just, it's like you're saying, it's all different avenues, it's all different branches of the system. And they eventually got to find their way to the sheriff to get you a summons sent.
Chances are, if they don't have an oath in the sheriff, they just make them up themselves because most of them aren't even signed. You get your oath of office in there and your bank account set up correctly, they have to go to the judge to get a court order to even come out and knock on your door or get into your bank account or even inquire about it. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, they won't do it because you don't have your oath at the sheriff's office. So that's how you stop that. I've gotten a letter stating that they wanted to do a hearing. And if I would have acted inappropriately, they would have went down and got a judge to get an indictment against me for whatever they were looking for.
Uh-huh.
But I went back, sent a letter back to them stating that things that I had in my possession like them, and that I didn't see any sworn affidavits or any witnesses swearing or. And I said, that was all. And I just signed it, sent it back, and they sent me a letter back saying that the council, hearing was canceled. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's how you handle them.
All good information. All good information.
You what?
I'm saying it's all great information you're giving us.
So that's, about all I can say. I'm kind of getting out of breath here.
Okay. Well, listen, we can wrap up for the night. It's been an absolute education for myself, let alone any of the other.
I don't want to sound hardline or, but you got to be rather persuasive.
Yep.
If you're not, you don't have to. Yeah, it's mainly just paperwork. Just get your oath of office in there. You don't have to discuss or dialogue with them at all.
Uh-huh.
Very little. And if you want to say, who do you say that I am? Are you addressing me?
Uh-huh.
Of course, now, if you don't want your freedom or sovereignty or your freedom, your liberties, just keep going around and with your mouth open. And I'm sure... you get plenty of attention.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
they love people that dialogue and discuss things with them.
Uh-huh.
So they usually get money out of them. And that's what they live on, money and what they wanted.
So the best advice or the best thing that you could tell us then, Mr. T, is to keep it short and simple.
Yeah, that's why I say don't dialogue with them.
Yep. That's the
message. You gotta, say, are you addressing me, or is it civil or criminal? And then, mainly, when they do get an answer, what civil means, and which it doesn't mean that where's the contract or the agreement. That's important. Wait for an answer. Don't interrupt, because you'll find yourself in contempt,
mm-hmm.
even on the street. And then if it's criminal, you usually don't ask a police officer or a cop or a metropolitan police if it's civil or criminal. You may, but you just ask them, are you addressing me? Give me the oath. Even then, chances are they'll leave you alone if you give it to them all in one breath. Here's my identification. See, one thing about identification, there's nothing wrong with identifying yourself, okay?
Yes.
And sometimes they might arrest a person, and they'll say, we know that's who you are because we found it in your pocket or in your billfold or, your credit cards. You've got to say it with your lips, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you walk into court, they ask you what your name is, and you say it with your lips, verbally. okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always say, who do you say that I am? Are you addressing me? That's a good answer. Are you addressing me? But make sure you get that oath there. That doesn't give you any of your just freedom away because you identify yourself, okay? There's nothing wrong with identifying yourself. You always want to identify yourself and in the same breath give an oath of office. If you're in doubt, just do that. And they'll take a different attitude towards you.
Yeah,
that's really important.
Because these guys really do know the story when it comes to the oath.
Well, yeah, you just say in the same breath, under God, so help me God.
See,
and we have a binding contract. And don't repeat it. They'll understand. They want you to get in the dialogue with them and you start, you know, discussing or arguing, you know. They usually get you into an argument because the whole thing is all about your conduct and your conduct and the character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get you upset or pissed off or whatever, angry, and that's where they haul you in, arrest you. People get upset, and that's what it's all about, character and conduct. You don't want to do that. That's why I say stay calm, learn discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And use these methods, and you can't go wrong. Okay?
Yep, definitely. Listen, Mr. T, thanks very much for gracing the airwaves tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure and an education speaking to you.
Yeah, thank you. You feel go for any explanations or anything or any more rehearsals or dialogue wise, just whistle.
Sure.
Mr. T.
Sure.
Can you whistle? 20 what is it, about 100 miles from here?
Yeah, I'll try my very best.
You're supposed to be good whistlers over there in Scotland.
Well, we're good at some things.
As I say, talk to Harry.
Put Harry back on. But listen, Mr. T, it's been an absolute pleasure, and it'd be a great delight to have you on again at some time in the future as well.
Okay.
So it's an open invitation.
Adios.
I'll put myself up for another education, guys.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Okay, adios. Bye-bye.
Adios.
Hello, John.
You
okay?
How you doing, Harry?
Yeah.
Wiping the sweat from my brow.
It's a marathon.
I'm wiping the sweat. I'm wiping the sweat from my brow as I speak.
I know, it's incredible stuff.
It's mean.
It's rare material. It'll go down in history as the best history archives.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, it's all been recorded. It'll be made available for everybody.
Sure.
And I'm sure. So, I suppose we should all hit the sack. It's about 12:30, I think, isn't it?
I'm still Mr. DJ for a wee while after the show finishes.
Oh, really? God.
That's where I get to enjoy myself. play some music.
You have to ingest all this stuff, you know.
That's right. I'm not even going to bother editing this tonight. I'm just going to leave it to next year or something, you know.
You relax the ears and the brain, okay? It's a lot to take in.
Certainly it was an education. I mean, I speak to Vin on a regular basis, as you know.
Sure.
But Mr. T is just a, you know, I think Vin kind of takes it easy with me.
So it was an easy night, wasn't it?
Oh, that was an education, so it was. So anyway, Harry, listen.
Can you imagine being the judge in the court?
No, I just wouldn't bother getting in.
Mr. T walks in.
Just turn about game. All right, mate. Listen, Harry, thanks
okay,
very
guys.
Much for coming
all
on
right.
tonight.
All the best, okay.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
All the best. Night-night from Dublin. Cheers.
Cheers, now. So, guys, thanks very much for listening tonight. This has been Scottish Sovereign Gary speaking with you and trying to keep you up to speed and stuff in the past 3.5 hours. So I'm going to wish you good night. God bless. Stay sovereign.